بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. We are reading from the kitab إصلاح العقائد, correction of beliefs, and presently we are doing the subject of kufr. What is kufr and what constitutes kufr? Many examples have been given. We have did 17 already, that those who have these types of aqidas, these people will be regarded to be now out of the fold of Islam and have committed kufr. We continue. Number 17, one who denies the physical resurrection of man on the day of Qiyamah. Number 18, one who denies the physical or material existence of Jannat and Jahannam. Number 19, one who denies any injunction of Allah Ta'ala which is soundly proven. For example, Salat, fasting, Zakat, Hajj, inheritance, capital punishment, Hijab, Jihad, prohibition of alcohol, interest, gambling, etc. Number 20, one who is displeased with any law of Sharia. Number 21, one who jests or mocks at any teaching of Islam. Number 22, one who makes unlawful the lawful acts of Islam or vice versa. For example, he legalizes interest, etc. No matter how major a sin is, as long as one regards it to be evil, he will not lose his iman. However, by committing the sin, one's iman will be weakened. Number 23, one who finds fault with any belief, act, practice, or teaching of Islam. Number 24, one who regards anything of the disbelievers to be superior to that which is ordered by Islam. Number 25, one who perpetrates an unlawful act regarding it to be lawful. For example, he commits adultery regarding it as lawful. Number 26, one who believes in the unification of all existing religions, claiming that the various religions existing today are all true and all of them lead to Allah Ta'ala. Number 17, one who claims that Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, and Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu, or any Sahabi is a non-believer, or he vilifies or rebukes them. One will not become a non-believer if he says Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu is more virtuous than the other Sahaba radiallahu anhum. However, to say so is an act of bid'ah innovation. Number 28, one who destroys a masjid intentionally or dishonors it, or if he kills an alim to dishonor him. Number 29, one who perpetrates an act which is a specific sign or feature of kufr. For example, wearing a cross, standing with reverence in front of an idol, or photograph of an inanimate object, saint, etc., and regards it as a reward. If he regards it as a sin, he will not become a non-believer. Number 30, one who intends to become a disbeliever. For example, he says, next month I will become a Christian. He becomes a disbeliever immediately. Number 31, one who asks someone regarding matters of the unseen and believes it. However, the Anbiya alayhimu salam can be informed of certain matters through wahi, revelation, and the awliya through kashf, which is manifestations, and ilham, inspiration, and the general matters by means of signs. We will continue. Last night in the Tarawih, alhamdulillah, the 22nd para was recited, and the first quarter of the 22nd para is a continuation of Suratul Ahzab, which commenced in the last quarter of the 21st para. That is followed by Surah Fatir, and that is followed by Surah Sabah, and then by Surah Fatir, and then two rukus, or one and a half rukus of Surah Yasin were also recited last night. Suratul Ahzab, which commenced in the end of the 21st para, we stopped there yesterday and we will continue. The Suratul Ahzab is a surah which is a Madani surah. And as mentioned previously, the difference between the Makki and the Madani surahs is that in the Makki surahs, normally the fundamentals of deen are mentioned, and that is the subject matter normally discussed in the Makki surahs. But on the other hand, the Madani surahs, there the discussion and the subject matter is somewhat different. Mention is also made of the fundamentals of deen, but more emphasis is placed on the laws of Shariat, the laws of guidance, and also many other things, etiquettes which have to be observed, and rules and regulations concerning many aspects of our deen. So that is the case here of Suratul Ahzab also being a Madani surah. The word Ahzab means, which is a plural of Hizbun, which means a group, a party, and an army. Since in the fifth year of Hijri, the Quraysh had, together with the support of many other tribes who were in Kufr, and they formed a coalition, and they intended to attack the Muslims, and once and for all, their objective was to destroy the Muslims and Islam forever. This occurred in the year 5th Hijri, and that battle is called the Ghazwa Ahzab, the Battle of Ahzab, where because of the coalition armies which came to attack the Muslims, it is also called Khandak, the Battle of Khandak. Khandak means trench, and because the Muslims they dug a trench, according to the mashwara of an opinion of Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu, from where the danger was for the people of Medina to be attacked. To protect them, the Muslims in Medina, a trench was dug. So that's why it is called Ghazwa Khandak also. So mention of that is made in the surah. That's why the surah has been called Suratul Ahzab. Many injunctions have been mentioned here and addressed. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been personally addressed, and in some instances the mu'mineen have been addressed, and even the wives, our noble mothers of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's wives have also been addressed. All these are mentioned in the surah. In the first verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressing Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tells Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam concerning all things. Although the address is to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but the message is for all of us, that these are the qualities which we should imbibe within us. And that will be a formula for success also. The first one is get the taqwa of Allah Ta'ala in your heart. And the second one, وَلَا تُطِعِ الْكَافِرِينَ وَالْمُنَافِقِينَ. Don't obey or don't follow the kuffar and the munafiqeen in their ways. Oppose them. There is no compromise in deen. To appease them, don't follow them in any way. And the third injunction here to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that follow that which has been revealed to you from your Rabb. And the fourth injunction, وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ, that place your trust only on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of many of the false notions and beliefs which the mushrikeen and the people had within them in the initial stages of Islam, and these were rectified in many places throughout the Quran Majeed. Here also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of three things which were all false notions which the mushrikeen and which the people from the era of ignorance used to believe in. The one thing was that they thought, they had this belief that certain people have been created with two hearts in their chest. And they referred to particularly those people who had a very high level of intelligence and intellect. So they used to say that no, he is a person now who has two hearts in his bosom. Allah Ta'ala says that we haven't created any person with two hearts in his bosom. The second point was concerning zihar. Zihar means when a person now tells his wife that you are to me like the back of my mother. In other words, as my mother is eternally haram for me, now I've also made you haram, for myself. And in this carried on from the days of ignorance. And no way could a person now then expiate his mistake for doing this, and his wife was regarded to be perpetually haram for himself. In Islam, the concept of zihar was kept intact, but with a variation in the sense that a person, if he does so, which is a wrong thing, details are mentioned in the first ruku of the 28th para also, and if a person pays his kafara, then his wife will now again become lawful and halal for him. But till he doesn't pay the kafara, that will be mentioned in the 28th para, what is the kafara, and then his wife will now become halal for him once more. And the third point mentioned is that your adopted sons are not your real sons. Prior to Islam, the adopted son was regarded to be one's real son. And even in the initial stages of Islam, this was also now, this also continued. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam had adopted Zayd radiallahu anhum. But when this verse was revealed, then Allah Ta'ala says clearly that attribute them and call them attribute them to their fathers. This is more justice in this, according to Allah Ta'ala, that you only attribute the adopted son to their real fathers, not to the ones who adopted them. Prior to this verse, Zayd radiallahu anhu used to be called Zayd ibn Muhammad, Zayd the son of Muhammad, according to the custom. But after this verse was revealed, then Zayd radiallahu anhu was only known as Zayd ibn Haritha. The father of Zayd radiallahu anhu was Haritha. And now he was no more called Zayd ibn Muhammad. The Mufassirin explained that Zayd radiallahu anhu's link with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the sense that he wasn't called no more Zayd ibn Muhammad. Now he was called Zayd ibn Haritha. But perhaps for that reason, he is the only Sahabi from the thousands of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum whose name Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has actually mentioned in the Quran Majid. And it is in the surah, in the beginning of the 22nd para, which we will now come to, and an incident is mentioned here. Only he has been mentioned by name. Other Sahaba radiallahu anhum have been mentioned by some quality of theirs. For example, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, who accompanied Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the journey of Hijrat. And he was Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam companion. Allah Ta'ala mentions him as the second of the two. But his name also is not mentioned. No Sahabi's name besides Zayd radiallahu anhu's name is mentioned in the Quran Majeed. Thereafter Allah Ta'ala makes mention that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is, although not the father of any of your men, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had male offspring, but none reached the level or the age of manhood. In other words, they all passed away in infancy and childhood. Allah Ta'ala mentions elsewhere in the surah that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not the father, the physical father of any of your men, but Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Khatamun Nabiyyin and the Rasul sent to you. So with regard to that, Allah Ta'ala mentions here also that the relationship Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has with all the mu'mineen is closer to the mu'mineen than their own selves. And the wives of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are the mothers of the ummah. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's relationship with every mu'min, every person of this ummah, is even closer than the relationship of a father to the son. That was Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was Ra'ufur Rahim, most compassionate and merciful for the ummah also. And the wives of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah Ta'ala said, they are your mothers. They are the mothers of the people of the ummah. That is why the masla and special order concerning the wives of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's demise, nobody is permitted to marry any of the wives of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then makes mention of the battle of Ahzab and the circumstances under which the Muslims were when they were facing the enemy, how difficult conditions they were faced with. And the Muslims were only about 3,000 in number. But the coalition armies of the Kuffar, they were between 10 and 15,000. And they had come with one mission only, to now completely wipe out Islam and the Muslims. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such that they could not succeed in their motives, and they had to flee. When Allah ta'ala sent a gale wind, a very strong wind, which now toppled their tents and made the animals also start fleeing, and they lost their morale, and eventually they had to now leave and return back to Makkah from where they came in an unsuccessful way. Allah Ta'ala describes this incident that these armies came from the top and from the bottom, in other words all sides, and the Muslims were in a condition zaghatil absar, their eyes were also in a bewildered state, and their hearts had reached their throats also, in other words because of extreme fear, and they were also having thoughts about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that why is the assistance and madad and nusrat of Allah Ta'ala not coming down. Allah Ta'ala says, in this way we tested the mu'mineen. Here Allah Ta'ala wanted to test the mu'mineen, who are the true mu'mineen, and they can be distinguished from those who are the hypocrites. And clearly, those who are afflicted with hypocrisy, their hypocrisy and nifaq came to the fore. And Allah Ta'ala makes mention of them, that how these munafiqeen, and whoever had an illness, spiritual illness in their heart of nifaq, they started making statements that whatever Allah and His Rasul had promised is just deception. Here we are facing imminent defeat at the hands of these kuffar, and here we are being promised of the help of Allah Ta'ala. Like this, they made statements to lower the morale of the Muslims, and they tried to now disunite the Muslims in their resolve and determination to fight the kuffar. Allah Ta'ala even mentions that they made flimsy excuses not to be right in the front of the battlefield, and they wanted to go back to their homes in Medina with the pretext that inna buyutana awra, that our houses are exposed and open. If the enemy have to come into Medina from any other side and attack us, then who's going to look after our families and our houses are all open? On that pretext, they left the battlefield. And they did not want to confront the enemy. Allah Ta'ala says these are just excuses of theirs. In yuriduna illa firara, their only objective is to flee and run away. Allah Ta'ala tells them that if you're running away is to run away from death or being killed, then remember, death will come to you at any point in its appointed time. You cannot escape death. No matter what you try to do, on its appointed time it will come. Further on, Allah Ta'ala mentioned also concerning these munafiqeen, that they are greedy when it comes to now, when they see you being successful in your expeditions, and the booty and the booty etc. are being collected, then they yanduruna ilayka taduru a'yunu. No, they are greedy, and they say, no, we were with you. We were with you. It was because of our support, that now you are victorious. Therefore, we want our share. But when they are faced with fear, Allah Ta'ala describes them, يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَيْكَ تَدُورُ أَعْيُهُمْ, that they look at you with their eyes rolling, like a person who is now in the throes of death. How his eyes roll out of extreme fear. So this is the condition of the munafiqeen. But the moment there is now victory and there is now booty to be distributed, they now they speak to you with sharpened tongues. Allah Ta'ala says, "Bi alsinatin hidadin," and now they try to say, make ihsan on you, that no, you were there, that's why now you were victorious. Therefore, we want our share. So all this hypocrisy and of the hypocrites, Allah Ta'ala exposes it in these verses. Allah Ta'ala then says that for you there is an excellent example in the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In this particular context, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he stood his ground, and he with determination he continued now fighting with these coalition armies. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not run away from the battlefield. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is an excellent example. And in a general context, every aspect of the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in each there is an excellent example for all mu'mineen, for those who have the fear of Allah Ta'ala in the day of the year after. So every aspect of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam's life is an excellent example for us to follow. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then continues with the same incident, and in this incident of the battle of the Khandaq, the Jews of Medina, particularly the tribe Banu Qurayza, with whom the Muslims had a previous agreement and pact that they will not fight with one another, nor will they assist any of the enemies of the other. But in this battle of Ahzab, quietly and secretly, the Jews, the Banu Qurayza, they assisted the Quraysh and the other armies which were attacking the army. Allah Ta'ala exposes their condition, and then Allah Ta'ala immediately after the battle of Ahzab ordered Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to proceed to where these Banu Qurayza were living, just on the outskirts of Medina, and then they were dealt with very severely. The incident, Allah Ta'ala says, that it is Allah Ta'ala who caused them to come down from their forts, these people who assisted the enemies from the Ahl Kitab, referring to these Jews, and then Allah Ta'ala filled their hearts with fear, and in the sense that they were then forced to now surrender to the Muslims. And then, according to the decision which was made, and they themselves requested that Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiallahu anhu must decide our fate. And then it was decided that all their able people who are now of age, who are able to now fight, they must be put to death, and the rest, their women, children, etc., were all imprisoned and regarded as booty for the Muslims. Allah Ta'ala says, in this way, we made you heirs of their land and their houses and their wealth and such lands which you as yet have not set foot on. Allah Ta'ala, referring to all the subsequent victories which the Muslims were accorded, Allah Ta'ala gives glad tidings of this, and Allah Ta'ala says Allah has power over everything. Then the last verse in the 21st para, Allah Ta'ala then makes mention concerning the Azwadun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As the Muslims were gaining victory after victory, and the economic and financial condition of the Muslims had improved much compared to what it was in the initial stages of Islam, then the Azwadun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they took up the courage to ask Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for an increase in their allowance. They had no intention of causing any pain to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just seeing the different, the change in economic conditions of the Muslims, they made this request. Allah Ta'ala tells Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that give the choice to your wives. Either if they want the worldly riches and the adornments of this world, then they must come, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam must then separate them in a cordial way and not keep them anymore as his wives. And then they are told, if you wish to and desire Allah and His Rasul and the year after, then Allah Ta'ala has prepared for those of you who do good immense reward. So the choice was put forward to the Azwadun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that if you wish to stay in the present condition, well and good. But if you want the luxury and comfort of the world and the worldly things, then I will then have to separate you from my nikah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tried to impress on them that they haven't really appreciated their value and status, being the wives of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, living in the household of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that their minds are going towards the luxury and comfort of this world. So this proposal was put forward to them. Each of the Azwajun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they mentioned that no, we will be staying with you in under all circumstances, whether now difficult circumstances or not, but we will not want to part company with you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in response to that, mentions that really the wives of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they hold such a status which other women of this ummah don't hold. Allah ta'ala says, لَتُنَّكَ أَحَدٍ مِّنَ النِّسَاءِ نِتَّقَيْتُنَّ. That, O wives of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are not like the other women. If you now adopt taqwa, so, and then Allah ta'ala mentions, according to their status, that if you do good and you are obedient to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and do good actions, we will reward you double. In other words, your reward will be double. But on the other hand, Allah Ta'ala also mentions clearly that if you fall into evil and sin in any way, then your punishment will also be reward. So, according to a person's status by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and according to the people, that's how a person now will be retributed for his good also, and also for his evil. In this, the ulama also explained that those who have been accorded status by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of the virtue of being blessed with the knowledge of deen, for example, they also should realize that they are also now, when it comes to their good actions and also their bad actions, the consequences will be also the same. And they should have bear a greater responsibility when it comes to their behavior and actions, whether doing good or evil. Further on, Allah Ta'ala gives some guidelines to the Azwajun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These guidelines are for all women, but particularly the Azwajun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have been addressed that they must pay more. They must be more particular in this and pay extra regard with these commands. Allah Ta'ala says, when you speak with anyone, in other words strange men, then don't speak to them in lowered voices, in delicate and fine and sweet voices, lest that person who has an illness in his heart of hypocrisy or of weak iman or of lust, perhaps that he might be enticed and inclined. And anyone now having any thoughts like that with Azwajun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, obviously he will be completely destroyed. So Allah Ta'ala tells the Azwajun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam and all women in general that they should also be particular in their voice. Everything of a woman is appealing, even her voice, and she should be careful in this regard. Allah Ta'ala tells them that stay within the confines of your homes. And actually this is the order for all women. Only out of necessity should you emerge. And don't make a display of your beauty as was the case in the earlier period of ignorance, where women should now reveal, go outside and reveal some of their beauty in public, as is now continuing today. So although Allah Ta'ala calls this the first period of ignorance, but really, as we see, this is the latter period of ignorance, because the same, in fact, even more conditions now are prevailing, where women are now revealing and exposing their beauty. And then Allah Ta'ala tells them, establish the salat, pay the zakat, and be obedient to Allah and His Rasul. And then Allah Ta'ala tells the Azwajun Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that Allah wishes to cleanse you, and cleanse you from all type of dirt. We are referring to now spiritual type of dirt. And Allah Ta'ala wishes to thoroughly purify you, O wives of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Therefore, continue with the reciting of the Qur'an Majeed in your homes. And also the hikmah, the sunnah, the ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah Ta'ala gives these guidelines to the Azwajun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thereafter Allah Ta'ala makes mention of many, about 10 qualities, which are the qualities of those who are the people of Iman, and which we should imbibe within us. Normal trend and way of address throughout the Qur'an Majeed is to use only the masculine form of speech, but in that the women are also included. But Salama radiallahu anha once asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that why do we see that in the Qur'an Majeed only Allah Ta'ala addresses the men, although the women are also now included in that address, and we fear our actions are not being accepted by Allah Ta'ala. So in this verse Allah Ta'ala mentions the masculine and feminine form of speech for each one differently, so that women are also now know that these are things which the women also have to imbibe within themselves, just as it is for the males, to be submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be of iman and firm conviction, to be obedient to Allah ta'ala, to be truthful, to persevere, and to be humble, and to be charitable, and to fast, to protect the private parts, and also to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in great abundance. This has passed many a time, that this is one ibadah which Allah ta'ala has qualified with the clause of kathira, that in abundance. Nowhere is it mentioned that performs salat in abundance, or gives zakat, or keep fast in abundance. Only zikr has been mentioned, and the reason was mentioned yesterday also, that zikr is actually the lifeblood of this universe. Without the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and when there will be no one to take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the entire system of this universe will cease to function. Further on, Allah ta'ala then mentions concerning the incident which occurred, and also connected to Zayd radiallahu anhu, that being the adopted son of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he wasn't the real son, but people regarded the adopted son to be the real son, and the wife of the adopted son, people regarded it to be like the wife of the real son. A real son, his wife, your daughter-in-law, it is not permissible to marry her in any circumstances after your son had married her. Then people thought this was the same rule for the adopted son's wife. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wished to now put an end to this false notion and belief. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself was ordered to marry the wife of his adopted son after Zayd radiallahu anhu had divorced her, because the two of them could not adapt to one another, although Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made repeated efforts to reconcile between the two. He was married to Zayd, Zainab bint Jahash radiallahu anha. She is the cousin of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also, but after they were divorced, Allah ta'ala himself ordered that the nikah must be made to Zainab radiallahu anha, so that this wrong notion that the adopted son is like the real son can be abolished and terminated forever till the day of Qiyamah. Ulama explain that those things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to now terminate and completely now get finish it off, for that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was only selected for those things which did not have any would not leave any blemish on the high status of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But those things which Allah Ta'ala wanted now to continue for the day of Qiyamah, those examples, for that Allah Ta'ala selected the Sahaba radiallahu anhum to do that. For example, those, the punishment, capital punishments of Islam, for example, the chopping of the hand when a person steals, for in adultery, whatever the punishment has been prescribed, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not chosen now to do all that. Why? Because it will definitely leave a blemish on the high status of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, some of them, they had fallen into that wrong for which the capital punishment was meted out to them. And an example had to be now put forward, or else for the remainder of the ummah till the day of Qiyamah to make amal and practice on these injunctions of Sharia would have been very difficult. But an example was already in the time of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So from this you can understand that although the Sahaba were not ma'soom, but they made their mistakes, but also it was according to the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the wisdom of Allah ta'ala is such that we cannot understand, but this is the underlying reason why some of them, they fell into some wrong, for which now some punishment had to be given to them. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then makes mention of the sterling qualities of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Five have been mentioned here, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been sent to remove the people from the multitude of darknesses of kufr and shirk to the light of Islam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be a witness against the previous nations for the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, that they had transmitted the message of Haq to them. He is one who gives glad tidings to the mu'mineen, and also a warner, and also a da'i to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, caller to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and an illuminated lamp. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then makes mention of some other injunctions, particular to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, which was regard to marriage, the privileges which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was accorded, was according to the high status of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To get married to more than four women was the speciality of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Many reasons and wisdoms are given behind that. And Allah Ta'ala clearly mentions, خَالِصَةً لَكَ مِن دُونِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. This is special for you, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not for the mu'mineen. When it comes to be equal in spending time with the wives, this was an order, and it is the order for the whole ummah if you have more than one wife. But for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was an obligatory for him. This verse also occurs here. Allah Ta'ala says, whoever you wish, you can keep them back from amongst these women, amongst your wives, and also accommodate them towards yourself, who you please. In other words, you are at a liberty to now to spend more time with one and maybe less or no time with the other. You have complete permission, although Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam maintained that justice and equality amongst his wife till his last breath, although Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wasn't obliged to do so. But the permission has been given to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thereafter, Allah Ta'ala mentioned some social etiquette: don't enter the house without permission, anyone's house, particularly here of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if you are invited for meals, then only go. Then don't go without permission, without being invited. And don't go before the food now has been prepared. In other words, don't go too early. If you are invited for lunch, don't go breakfast time. Or you are invited for supper, don't go now already lunch time. This will cause inconvenience to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and whoever is the host. Further on, Allah Ta'ala says, after you have eaten, then disperse. Don't just hang around unnecessarily. This would also cause inconvenience to the host. And yes, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, an incident occurred in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this regard. Allah Ta'ala says, that causes pain to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he feels shy to tell you, because he feels he will offend you. But Allah Ta'ala doesn't shy away from the truth. And Allah Ta'ala clearly mentioned in these verses that disperse. However, the ulama explained that if the host, through some indication, a person now understands that the host also wants people now to stay around for a little while after they're being invited for their meals, then there's nothing wrong in now sitting around. Sometimes you will feel offended. You just ate and you hardly finished your dua and you're already gone. Then they will feel offended. So if circumstances are such that he wants you to stay around a little while, then there is no problem with that. Further on, some other injunctions are being mentioned here, and then the great honor which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had accorded to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being mentioned, that Allah ta'ala and the farishtas, they send durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O mu'mineen, you also send your salat and salam upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where you are making dua to Allah ta'ala, that Allah ta'ala must now send down his special mercies upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That indicates the great honor of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thereafter, the order of parda is also mentioned, that Allah ta'ala tells Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell your wives and your daughters and all the mu'mineen women that they should lower their jalabib, their outer garment over themselves. Jalabib is the plural of jilbab. Jilbab is that outer garment which a woman wears over her normal clothes when she emerges from her house. It is a loose type of cloth which completely now conceals her, in the sense that her body shape etc. is also not revealed, and this is how a woman should emerge from their houses. In the Islamic law of hijab, which the women have been given, there is actually honor and status for the women, and also to protect them from themselves also and others also from falling into any type of evil. And then towards the end of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that don't cause any type of taklif and harm to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as the people of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, they harassed their Nabi and caused hurt to their Nabi, and by saying such things which were not befitting, and Allah ta'ala absolved Musa alayhi salam from all what the people said. Same thing, Allah Ta'ala will protect Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from all the wrong things which people attribute to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Ta'ala says, fear Allah Ta'ala, O mu'mineen, and speak the straight word. In other words, speak correctly and in the right way. And the benefit of that, your a'mal will be corrected, and Allah Ta'ala will forgive you your sins. And then Allah Ta'ala says that we had sent down the amanat on the skies and the earth and the mountains. They refuse to now take the burden of this amanat. By amanat here is meant the fulfillment of the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it was placed before insan, and they took upon themselves to take the burden of the responsibility of fulfilling the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because insan had the ability and capacity to do so, and they knew they were the vicegerents of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the earth. But Allah ta'ala says, insan, by doing this, he is zaloom and jahul. Zaloom, he has oppressed. In other words, he is not able to fulfill 100% responsibility which he has took upon himself, and he is jahul, ignorant of the consequences of not fulfilling this responsibility. So these were the many injunctions which are mentioned in the surah, Suratul Ahzab. The next two surahs are both Makki surahs, and they mainly the fundamentals of deen and the Aqeedah of Tawheed, and is reinforced, and Allah Ta'ala proves it through many ways. Inshallah, we will do it very briefly tomorrow with whatever is recited tonight, inshallah.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Continuing with the hadith of the fadail of zikr. An Umar radiallahu an, anna nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ba'atha ba'athan qibla najdin, fa ghanimu ghanaima kathira, wa asra'u raj'ata, fa qala rajulun mimman lam yakhruj, ما رأينا بعثا أفرأ رجعة ولا أفضل غنيمة من هذا البعث. فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: ألا أدلكم على قوم أفضل غنيمة وأسرع رجعة؟ قوم شهدوا صلاة الصبح ثم جلسوا في مجالسكم يذكرون الله حتى طلعت الشمس، فأولئك أسرع رجعة وأفضل غنيمة. رواه الترمذي. حضرت عمر رضی اللہ عنہ سے مروی ہے کہ نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نج کی طرف ایک مرتبہ جہاد کے لیے لشکر بھیجا، جو بہت ہی جلد واپس لوٹ آئے اور ساتھ ہی بہت سارا مال غنیمت لے کر آیا. لوگوں کو بڑا تعجب ہوا کہ اتنی ذرا سی مدت میں ایسی بڑی کامیابی اور مال و دولت کے ساتھ جماعت واپس آ گئی. حضور صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے فرمایا کہ میں نے اس سے بھی کم وقت سے اس مال سے بہت زیادہ غنیمت اور دولت لانے والا جماعت بتاؤں. یہ وہ لوگ ہیں جو صبح کی نماز میں شریک ہوتے ہیں، پھر اسی جگہ بیٹھ کر ذکر میں مشغول رہتے ہیں حتیٰ کہ آفتاب طلوع ہو جاتا ہے. تو یہ لوگ بہت ہی تھوڑی سی وقت میں بہت زیادہ دولت کمانے والے ہیں. راہ ترمذی. حضرت عمر رضی اللہ عنہ نے that once Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent an expedition towards Najd, the group acquired a great amount of booty and returned very quickly. A man who had not gone with the group said, "We have never seen a group which has returned so quickly with so much booty like this group." Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Should I not show you such a people who attain much more wealth in a much shorter space of time? It is those people who are present for Fajr namaz and thereafter remain in their places making the zikr of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu until sunrise. These people attain much more wealth and in a much shorter time."